Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, who is the Christ. Amen. So I think by now, all schools are back in session, right? Are you all back in session if you have children? Yeah, I thought so. So most of you, if you're parents, you've started the age-old, almost maybe ancient routine of sending your kids to school, right? So the content, I think, can often vary, and I'm not a parent, so you can help me to fill in the gaps if I've forgotten anything. But as a child heads out the door, or as they get out of the car, or as you walk them, him or her, to your classroom, I'm assuming there's a litany of things that happen. Do you have your lunch? That's a really important one. Don't forget your jacket. Well, we don't have that here as often, but it still happens. Do you remember to wait your turn? Say please and thank you. Raise your hand and wait to be called on. Don't just shout out. Your snack money is in your outside pocket. Don't wait too long to go to the bathroom. Make sure you go when you need to. Don't pass notes or text during class. Call me when you get home, or text me, probably. Make sure you cover your mouth with your elbow when you sneeze. Did you wear clean underwear? Did you shower? And don't forget, I love you. Right? A litany of things that we try to remind our children. And I think it's this frantic shot and making sure your kids know what it means to be a good citizen in school and in the classroom. Even as the words tumble out of the mouths of you parents, I think that most of you know that it's too much and too fast, and a flood of instructions dumped on your child will often just fill the mind and float right out. But you wonder and you worry and you offer what you can. Well, the reading from Paul today to Romans is a little like that. Paul is doing much the same thing in this selection that we heard to those wonderful believers in Rome. It's this laundry list of practical advice for living as a Christian. And I think it's a little more than overwhelming. In fact, halfway through the passage, even as I read it, I had to make sure I stayed focused and paid attention, because I'd rather just tune out. Poor Paul. He tried really hard, like a well-meaning parent. Maybe it would work well or work better if we parceled them out for one or two sentences at a time throughout the year, but we don't. We get the whole selection at once. Here it is. And in fact, it's a lot like other parts of the Bible as well. God forbid you open up the book of Deuteronomy, right? If you ever want to fall asleep quickly at night, just open up the book of Deuteronomy, start reading, and you'll pass out. How can I possibly live faithfully when there's so much to pay attention to? When I know that I fall short, I know that I'm going to fail at a multitude of things that's on that list for Paul. I should just throw in the towel, shouldn't I, and forget about it altogether, not even begin. Well, perhaps some people do that. But we're here this morning, so I think our answer is no, let's not. Let's not just throw in the towel. And I'd like to think that Paul, like well-meaning parents, was using small strokes to paint a bigger picture. One that's instructive up close, but gains its fullest impact when it's taken as a whole, if you will. So up close, this small passage for today is 26 commandments in 13 verses. I mean, really. Take a step back, though, and pay attention to what he's saying as a whole picture. And I think he's talking about being a person of principle, a person who persists, and a person of compassion and love. Well, I mean, except for that last little bit about coals on the head of burning the person you're frustrated with, we'll leave that part out for now. A few more paces back, and we step right into the gospel. That whole thing about losing your life. All of those human bits that want revenge on those who hurt us. The times that we distrust strangers and look out for number one, or look inward at our own belly button, if you will. The desire that we have to be in control and to get what we want right at this very minute. In allowing all of that to die, we gain new life as followers of Christ Jesus and the way of the cross and resurrection. And then, with the bigger picture in mind, we continue a circle, if you will, moving in to see once again what the specifics of a kind of life of following Jesus look like. I think it's a cyclical thing, if you will. I really think that what's intended to be is a cycle, a sort of pattern of our lives. I don't think there's anything wrong or inadequate about our faith when we establish this sort of back and forth rhythm. The problem comes, I think, that when we get stuck in one part or another. What I mean is, if we focus solely on the details, the how-tos, sort of the way that many fundamental Christians do, people live in their faith of only applying one rule at a time and moving on to a next rule and then the next one, I think they lose a sense of why they're doing what they're doing. But if you look at it the other way and stay back so far that you lose sight of the particulars of the faith, of the how-to, then we become, as the Bible often will say, clanging cymbals or clanging gongs or whatever the passage is, proclaiming God's love and justice without tangible action that makes it come alive. Just as parents understand, I think, that kids aren't going to grasp everything that they're saying as they get out the door for school in the morning, remembering every last-minute detail, Paul, I just can't even believe that he would expect us to do the same. In fact, it was a letter written down, thank goodness, so that it could be referred to and referenced. But Paul's words, they develop a picture for us. One that can be revisited and reviewed, holding out the possibility that a little more will sink in every time that we go to it. That in due course will reflect more and more of those values and behaviors of faith. Then we ourselves, I think, in imitation of Jesus, will be the picture. The picture of love and sacrifice for the world. People who watch us will begin to see, will begin to know whether or not they are loved. And people will begin to know what it looks like to be his follower. Now, it is a pretty tall order. It's a really big thing to have to accomplish. So here's the biggest news, I think. God will do fine even when we're struggling. God will do fine even when we as individuals fail. Jesus already has done the losing of his life in order that the saving part may be made known. And he was the ultimate perfect act so that we don't have to be perfect. In fact, I think when Jesus rebuked Peter, he was reminding Peter that this is God's work, after all, not his own. It's not a human endeavor. It's not about Peter himself. It's not about Angela herself. Rather, it's about Jesus and what has already been done. We will never, never have to carry, God forbid, our own cross the way Jesus did. I think we often just need to get out of the way. Get out of our own way and get out of the way of ourselves so that the world may know God's love through us. So that God's love may shine abundantly. We do our best sometimes and we get it right. Being patient and peaceable and welcoming and loving. And other times we do our best and we get it wrong. Acting vengeful or proud or selfish, lazy or resentful. And then every time, no matter the lack of effort or the extreme effort on our part, my friends, we get another chance. We get another opportunity, another reminder to step aside from the grip of the world's priorities, to step aside from our own failures and misgivings. And we step onto holy ground, knowing that true love abounds, that Jesus has truly been resurrected. And we remember, even just slightly, that from losing our own life, we do find it, and we find it in him, the ultimate lover. In his name I pray. Amen.